Jesus-size. Hallelujah. To the left. To the left. Okay. No. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team, tech team. Man, that's how you celebrate. That's how you celebrate. I don't know what church you've been going to, but church should not be boring and dead. You like that? Go to a museum. Everything dead in there. But our God is not a shrine. He's not in a museum. He's alive. Our God is alive. Jesus has risen. Hallelujah. Do you think that tomb and that stone were to size, like regulation size? I don't know. I don't think so. Hallelujah. Welcome to First Open Bible in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. So glad that you're here this morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you. Amen? Amen. I'm glad you decided to join us this morning for worship. The ones that couldn't make it in person, thank you for joining us online. I'm telling you, the house is full with his expectation and his life and his joy and his love and especially his hope. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here. The kids did an excellent job earlier. Amen? That was wonderful. Man, I almost started crying. So my son and our son is Hudson, and he got to play Jesus. And when he was getting nailed, and he tells, here it comes, I'm going to die. Man, I'm not even close, but for a moment, I was like, Mary, I cannot even imagine. I just started like almost crying. I'm like, ooh, you guys got to move to the next part. I'm going to be a mess before I even preach this morning. And I was just like, oh, God, you did that for us. But imagine the ones that loved him so dearly that watched all of that happen. I cannot imagine it. Just can't. But this is a good day because Jesus, he's not on the cross. I know some people wear those cross necklaces, but you know Jesus ain't on there anymore. I like the empty ones better, right? It'd be kind of weird, a little tomb and like a little rolling rock away. That's not a cool necklace, but that makes more sense because Jesus is not on that cross anymore. He's alive. Amen? Now, this is the month of April. This is 2020 new. In our church family, we've been having this theme called This Changes Everything. I am hot and sweaty right now. Y'all can we open a window or something? My goodness. Woo! Y'all feeling me, right? I'm too fat. Too fat to take my coat off. Thanks for that. This is hiding things, man. Come on now. Oh, it was that pastor had Easter every day of the week. Come on now. Get to the altar and repent. Hallelujah. Man, this series is awesome because this changes everything. Why? Because Jesus gives us resurrecting hope. John 18:36 says this. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Church, oftentimes the king that we expect is not the king that we need. Easter is a time to rejoice and be thankful for the gift of life, love, and the gift of hope. There's no event in human history more significant, more important than Jesus' death and his resurrection. Now, I pray you had a good Holy Week. You have a good Holy Week this week? Amen? If you did, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you didn't, say hallelujah. Okay, well, guess what? This is the end. This is what we celebrate about. No matter what your week's like, you are here today, and we're going to hear about hope, the hope of our salvation. We're reminded on Holy Week that Jesus didn't come just to set up a new political system, right? Democrat, Republican, Independent, and then Christ Jesus, right? Vote Jesus, amen. No, he didn't just come to set up a new political system. He came instead to change the hearts and save us from our sins by his death on a cross and a resurrection from the grave. Many expected 2,000 years ago that Jesus would rule and reign over the physical authorities that were in power on earth, right? Free us from the Romans. Free us from the corrupt leaders in the church. Free us from these things. But Jesus came for more than that. He brought hope to the hopeless. He came so we could reign and resurrection power could be in us over the spiritual, the emotional, the psychological, the physical, all these authorities here on earth. Jesus came so we could reign. He didn't just set us free for a time in history. He set us free for eternity. When Jesus was hanging on a cross, he didn't say, "I am finished." No, he said, "It is finished," because Jesus was just getting started. Come on now. That's good. That's better than the, "Hey, man, I think so, yeah, okay." What did he say? He said, "It is finished," because Jesus was getting started right then and there. Jesus' death secured Satan's defeat, and his resurrection secures our hope. Whether we realize it or not, we're all formed by stories. The story of Jesus is more than an event in human history. It changed human history. The event in history, this is called the good news of Jesus. And church, it's too good to not be true. But it's not always easy to see the whole story, the story of hope. The days following Jesus' crucifixion must have been some of the darkest times for his followers, like Mary Magdalene and the disciples. They placed all their hope in Jesus, and now he's dead. They believed that he truly was the Messiah, the one they've been waiting thousands of years for, and thought his life would change the world. It wasn't until Mary went to visit the tomb that hope was restored, for the tomb was empty and Jesus had risen. Church, have you ever thought about this fact? Before this time, right? Before Easter, before these events were a celebration, it was actually a time of mourning because Jesus was dead. It would have been only a few days before that the disciples watched their friend, the one that they believed to be the long-awaited Messiah. They watched their friend die and be crucified on a Roman cross. And just so you know, that is the worst way to die in that time. There is no worse torture. Romans were really good. I don't know if you know this, but they were really good at torture to get what they wanted out of people. They perfected it in ancient times, and that was the peak. Now these disciples, they placed all their hopes and dreams in the coming kingdom that Jesus was going to bring into the world. But on that Friday that was not good, there was nothing good about that Friday because they were crushed. And Jesus was brought down from the cross and he was laying in a tomb. It was the finality of Jesus' death that would have been the knockout blow to any hope the disciples had for the world. Where God would finally rule, he'd finally reign, where God would free them from their sin that had corrupted everything. What Adam started, they thought that Jesus could finish. Now, unrealized hope. Say unrealized, church. Unrealized hope may be one of the most painful things that we go through in this life. Sometimes disappointment can come from things that are rather insignificant, while other times disappointment comes from life-altering events that crush our hope, like this. Oh, wait, that's not life-altering. Remember them fat jokes, right? Here we go. Life-altering that crushes our hope. life-altering events that crush our hope. Now, each one of these pictures carries with it all kinds of emotion. If you've ever found yourself in one of these situations, perhaps you can relate to how the followers of Jesus felt on that Easter weekend, the very first one. Things we go through and the things we face in life, they can be heavy, really, really heavy. So heavy that we might question God and see if he even cares about us. God, do you even care about us? Or are you even working in this world? After 3 days of deep sorrow, they're in need of a resurrected hope. And the Bible tells us that right in the middle of the disciples' darkest hour comes the light of hope. Early in the morning, 2 days after Jesus' death, a woman named Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. Other places in Scripture tells us that her and her friends actually came to anoint the body so they could bury the body. When she arrives, she finds the tomb empty. Talk about insult to injury. Mary concludes that someone must have stolen his body and taken him away. She is devastated. Let's read about it. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 14 says this. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been laying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they've put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. As Mary looks into the tomb where Jesus has been laying, all she can see is what is missing. She fails to see what is actually there. So she focuses on the fact that Jesus' body is nowhere to be seen. She misses the two angelic beings who are seated where Jesus was. Through her tears, she tells the angels that she's heartbroken because not only is Jesus dead, but now his body's gone. It's disappeared. Now, this is what happens to us when we lose hope. This kind of thing happens to us when our dreams are shattered and our future becomes unclear. It becomes all too easy to fixate on what has not happened and what we don't have and what is missing. After Mary speaks to the angel, she turns to leave and comes face to face with the resurrected Messiah. And verse 14 says she turned to leave and saw someone standing there, and it was Jesus, and she didn't even recognize him. Resurrection hope was standing right in front of her, and she was unable to see it because of her fog of despair. She was so broken. Now, Mary had not come to the tomb expecting Jesus to be alive. She came to expect this lifeless body. But Easter is a reminder that God is in the business of awakening hope within us. Many times our hope is built on the little things that are right in front of us. If we just look past our fog of despair, so many people get stuck right there. Hope is found in taking time to be grateful for what we do have rather than focused on what we don't have. Here's the key: your expectation. What have you been searching for, church? What have you been expecting? What have you not been seeing that is right in front of you? Okay, let's get back to the story. As Jesus meets Mary in the doorway of the empty tomb, Jesus immediately has a concern about something right away. Mary's emotions and her tears that are streaming down her face. In John 20, 15 through 18 says, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll go and I'll get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. He says, don't cling to me, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go and find my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. And she gave them his message. Just as Mary has given up all hope, Jesus meets her in her tears and in her hopelessness and says, why are you crying? Jesus still does this very same thing for all of us, church. It says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Now John, he's the author of this book in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and that's the first four books of the New Testament. And John, he's the author of this book in the Bible, and he tells us that Mary thinks Jesus is a gardener, tending to the grounds around the tomb. John offers this information on purpose, right? Everything in the Bible is on purpose, church. And now, it's not just because Mary's confused and mistaken, although she is, but also because she's actually absolutely correct as well. Jesus is tending to the broken places of life. He is, in fact, repairing the brokenness that began in the Garden of Eden long ago in the book of Genesis. Now, the Bible tells us in the beginning, God created a garden of perfection for his creation to reside in. He had perfect relationship with them, and they experienced life to the fullest. Can you imagine walking every day with unicorns and T-Rexes, right? Flying on clouds? I don't know. I'm just making this up. I don't know. It was perfect. Those are things that I think would be cool, right? Eating cotton candy all day, never getting fat? Come on now. It's like Golden Corral every day and you never have any calories. Praise God. But every single day they walked with the presence of God. God was literally right next to them, in front of them, around them. He was everywhere. It was perfect. It was awesome. It definitely wasn't Iowa in January. Now, if you go to this church, you know why I said that, because the white demon, hallelujah. Like, what's the white demon? It's not a person. It's snow. But it was perfect there. They were living this full, incredible life with God. But the man and the woman that God created, Adam and Eve, ate the fruit from the tree that they were forbidden to eat from. Right? Like, all these things. You can have everything but that, just that one thing. Just that one right there. And they ate from it, and instantly sin and death were introduced into the world, and everything was broken. Now, I love the way that Romans talks about this. The way that Romans talks about it in chapter 5 is that Adam and Eve, the way that they sinned and what that brought to us, and then the way that Jesus redeemed it all. I love the way that in Romans it puts it. I'm going to read verses 12 through 17 in Romans 5. It says this. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet the law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God as Adam did. Now Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who is yet to come. Verse 15. But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace, his gift of forgiveness to many through this one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 16. As a result of God's gracious gift, it's very different from the results of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads us to be made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Verse 17, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will be triumphant over sin and death through this one man. Say it, church. Jesus Christ. Amen. And the story of Easter is about God who re-enters a garden to find those he loves and offers life to them once again. To make right what was made wrong. God's gracious gift. Do you know what it is? It's Jesus. God's one and only Son. He was given to us so we might be forgiven, that hope can enter our lives again through his sacrifice. The gift of Easter is hope. And our hope is found in the risen Christ. Now, what Mary discovered early at the tomb, the thing that she believed to be the most final, like, he's dead, I'm coming to realize his death by preparing his body to bury him forever. What she thought was to be the worst, the most final, the end, was not the end. It was the beginning. Jesus rising from the dead meant that sin and its ultimate outcome, which is death, right, we're all going to die. This mortal body will die. But Jesus rising from the dead meant that sin and death could not overcome Jesus, because he held the power over it. Death did not have the last word or the final say. Jesus did. He took back the keys from hell. Amen? The powerful revelation, church, I want you to get, it comes with this truth. If Jesus can overcome death, which is the greatest thing that no one else can, if Jesus can overcome death, then there is nothing in our lives that he cannot defeat or overcome. There is nothing. There's nothing worse or more final than that. And Jesus overcame it. Now, yesterday was a day called Silent Saturday. I was home with the kids. Ain't nothing silent about it. No, but the very first Easter weekend had a day called Silent Saturday. What was it? It was a full day that hope seemed to be no more. Hope is done. All day long. But church Sunday was coming. It was on its way, and it's here right now. What we celebrate this morning is better than anything we could hope for, and it's bigger than any life-altering event that might have crushed your hope. What we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday is the hope of Jesus' power and his presence living with us and his presence living in us. The resurrection is our redemption. The resurrection is our hope. The very first Easter taught us that life never ends and that hope never dies. Now, the central message of Easter is that God still loves us. No matter what, he still loves us. Because of Christ, we can be forgiven. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it. No, he did not. Why did he send him? But to save the world through him. Now, this Easter morning, you have a choice to embrace the hope that is offered to you in Jesus. Or let another opportunity go by. Now, if there was ever a safe day to put all your eggs in one basket, today is the day. You like that? I wrote that this morning. Praise God. It was from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, earlier in the book of John, right, that's what we've been reading out of, Jesus makes this audacious claim to a different woman. This is what he says. He says in John 11:25, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. What? Then he immediately asked this woman named Martha a very important question. It says, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Now, every Easter, there are some important questions we need to ask ourselves. Do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do we believe a Jewish man came riding in on a donkey 2,000 years ago with palm branches waving and chants of, Lord, save us now, also known as Hosanna, Hosanna. Do we believe that that man was the king? Do we believe that same king died on a cross to take away our sins? Do we believe that he rose a few days later and he left a tomb empty? Now, do we believe after his resurrection that he appeared to hundreds of witnesses and showed them all that indeed, I'm alive? Do we believe this same man who later ascended into heaven is coming back to earth someday triumphantly to judge the living and the dead? Now, do we believe that through him we can have hope that never goes away? Do we believe if we follow Jesus and put our faith in him, we too will never die? Is it possible that this event that happened 2,000 years ago changed everything? And indeed is today resurrecting our hope inside of us even this very morning. Now, the same question Jesus asked Martha is the same question he's asking you right now. Not the person next to you, not the person at home in their jammies. He's asking you specifically, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Now, no matter what your life has been like up until now, no matter how much disappointment you have experienced, no matter how much you have failed, you're offered a fresh start through Jesus' death and his resurrection and his never-ending love. There's no better day than today than on Resurrection Sunday to say, yes, Jesus, I believe. Now, Jesus came to die for you and save you because he loves you. Now, we live and we die, but Jesus died and now he lives. Today, you can experience this kind of life and you can live for all of eternity with him, and it starts through a prayer. The Bible teaches us that our hope starts with a prayer. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you openly declare, right, serving Jesus is not a secret. It shouldn't be a secret in your life. It shouldn't be something you keep from other people. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Now, praying this prayer from your heart means that you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm bound to die and go somewhere. I believe that man is saying today, forgive me of my sins. If you do this, you're going to be made new. The Bible says brand new. You're going to be born again, right? Like, you're not going to become a baby and, you know, people are going to have to change your diaper, nothing like that. I'm saying that you're going to be born again. What that means is your heart, your soul, your spirit that is dead because of what Adam did and what you did today probably, whatever sin that you had makes us dead. But because of Jesus and in Jesus, if we put our trust and hope in him and we put our faith in him, he makes us brand new. He makes us alive. He resurrects our spirit and makes it new. It's not just me who lives, but Christ will live in me. The resurrected power of God's love and his hope and his forgiveness is in me now. I don't have to live like I did yesterday. Because of what Jesus did, I can be alive like Jesus is. With God's gracious gift of hope. Now, when you make this decision through a prayer, it's not the end. Many people think that I can just say a prayer and live how I want. I want to tell you the truth. Whatever you've seen on TV, whatever you've believed, and whatever you have not read in the Word, saying a prayer starts everything. If you follow whatever you want, you're not following Jesus, which means you're not saved. Jesus said it over and over and over and over again in the Word. He said, come and follow me. Not say a prayer and live how you want. That's a lie of the enemy. That's a false gospel. You're selling yourself short. And you might be believing in things that aren't truth. But the truth is, Jesus says, accept me into your heart. Believe that I was raised from the dead and you shall be saved. Come and follow me. Let me tell you, it's the best life you'll ever live. And if you like adventures, he'll take you. He'll take you places. Guys in here, I'm telling you, you think that you have all kinds of adventures and things that you want to do. God will take you places you never dreamed of. He'll empower you to do things that you've never dreamed about doing. He'll say things, right? I used to throw up before I preach every single time. I was afraid to preach. And now you can't get me to shut up, right? I want to preach, right? That's the Holy Spirit. Right? That's God in us. It's not me, it's the God in me, right? And so I can live a different kind of life. And the things that have held me down and the things that I feel that are hopeless and the shame and the guilt that I've had, I don't have to have anymore because of Jesus. I remember that first time I ever said a prayer to Jesus and I really meant it, right? You know all those times where you say it and you do the old life, say it, do the old life, say it, do the old life. Guess what? You didn't really mean it. But I remember that one time that I really meant it. And I got to the point where I really actually said it from my heart, and I did it. I remember laying my head down that night, and I felt no guilt for the first time in my entire life. I felt freer than I've ever felt. I remember like smiling and crying at the same time, like when the sunshine comes out and it's raining at the same time. It's like weird, right? There's this weird thing going on. But I was crying, and I was smiling, and I felt so light, and I felt so great. And I also felt like it's not all about me and on me. God, I can trust you. I can finally do something and not in my own power. Man, if I could have saved myself, I would have, but I can't. And I recognize you're the only one that can. And when I did that, I'm telling you, life changed for me. Changed for me forever. There's all kinds of people in this house right now, in this place, people watching online that remember that day. That I truly said it and I meant it. I truly stood up and I walked up and I said a prayer and I believed it and God changed my life and I was never the same. And then people recognized, wow, you act different, you talk different, you think different. And I said, I know it's crazy, but I feel better. I feel more free. I have this hope, right? The whole world is dark, but I'm walking around with this light shining everywhere I go. It's amazing. I can't explain it other than God saved me and that he loved me. You know, God picks people, handpicks people out of crowds like this one and says, oh, you're mine. This is your day. You're mine. You're mine. There's something going on with your life. I need that. I want you to go here and say this. And there's power in what God is going to do. If you give me your life, I'm going to change the world through it, right? Wherever you go, I want to go with you. I want to lead you into places you've never been before. All you got to do is give me your life. Give me your life. Follow me. And we're going to change things. Right? That's the hope. No matter what you face, no matter how crushing the blow is, the hope of our salvation, there's nothing in this world, even death itself, that cannot crush that hope. That is the greatest hope, right? Buddha is dead. Confucius or whatever, it's so confusing his name. He's dead, right? Muhammad. He's dead. Jesus is alive. He is. You know, with Jesus, even your own life, you're going to die at one point. But there are things that can outlive you if you'll give God your life. He will use your life in capacities that you've never dreamed of. There'll be things that you'll be empowered. It says that the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave is the same spirit that can live in you, right? And if you are a believer, it lives in you. But you have to give the Spirit of God access to the things of your life and the emotions of your life and the thoughts of your life. And today's the day that we remember that the power of the resurrection is the same power that lives in us. It's the same day that we remember that we are saved and we're not dead because Jesus is alive. It's the same day that our hope is alive in Him. It's the same day that many of us have given our hearts to Christ before. It's not the end. Today can be the day of a lifelong transformation. I'm going to ask you a question. Look at me, please. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Now, oftentimes, right? I'm also going to step out of the pulpit for a moment. The way that we know if you believe it or not is how you've been living, how you've been talking, what you've been focused on. Do you believe this? Because if you don't, today you can. Today you can. Now, if you do believe this, or if you want to believe this, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me this prayer, this resurrection prayer, right here in just a moment. So if you believe this or you want to believe this, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, yes, out loud, right? It says it has to be public, right? It's not all about silence and quietness and solitude. There are times for that when you get built up by the Father in heaven, but this is a time that we have to confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and He was raised from the dead, and we shall be saved. So if you believe that or want to believe that, with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want you to repeat after me. Dear God, I admit that I have done some ugly things. I ask for forgiveness for my sins. Thank you that you, Jesus, paid the price on the cross for me, and that you rose from the grave. I put my faith in you, and I ask you, Jesus, into my heart. I'm ready to take part in your resurrection. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Will you please stand with me, church? Worship team, will you come? Altar team, will you come? All right. If that's the first time you've ever prayed that prayer before, or maybe it's the first time you've prayed that prayer in a very long time, I'm going to ask you to do something bold here in a moment. I'm going to ask you to come up here and join me. Now, here's the reason why. The Bible says in Luke 15:10, it says this: there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So what the Bible's telling us is, at this moment, at this time, if you give your heart to Christ and you turn from your sins and you realize the hope of Jesus, angels in heaven and this church are going to celebrate. We want to join the celebration. See, the hope found in Easter means today that you have a second chance, or maybe a third chance, or a fourth, or 15,733rd chance. I'm going to ask you to do something. Now, Jesus defeated death, and He died in our place. And now He's our living hope. Because of the reality of the resurrection, we can live for Him like never before. And church, it starts with a prayer. If that's you today and you just gave your heart to Christ for the first time, or maybe you said that prayer and it's been a long time, will you come up here? This is the altar team. This altar team wants to meet you. They want to get information from you because they love you. They've been praying for you all week. They've been thinking about you all week long, and they want to get information from you. They also want to call you this week and see how you're doing and see if you have any questions. But also, we want to get you a Bible, a really, really good Bible that you can read and understand. And I'll write in that Bible. I'll pray over it. I'll write a verse for you, and I'm going to pray over it, and I'm just going to give you a word in there, and we're going to give you a Bible that you can read. And we want to invite you to be part of our church family, or if you have been for a long time, to remain with us. We're all learning together. We're all moving together. We're living together, right? Nobody in here has it perfect. There ain't nobody in here perfect. Everyone falls short of the glory of God. But we want to serve Jesus to the best capacity we can. So if that's you today, will you just come? If you have a friend and they said it the first time, will you just say, hey, will you come up with me? Just come up right now. Come on up. Come on up. Give them a hand, church, to celebrate. Hallelujah. Blake, going to meet you, Blake and Pastor Harris. Come on over here. Let's go talk to them. Come on up. I know there's more. Giving your heart to Jesus. Come on up. Amen. Praise God. Doug and Candy, grab her right there. Amen, amen. Anyone else says, I want to give my life to Jesus. I said a prayer and I want to, it says that you have to publicly do that, and there's no better place and there really is no better Sunday than right now. If that's you, please come up. Just get the, I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit boldness right now upon them. If they want to come up, God, give them the strength to take that first step and come up and give their life to you, God, that we can agree in prayer because we're all celebrating together. We've all been there. We all remember what it's like, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. If that's you, please come up. We're going to sing a song together. Come on up, guys. Come on up. Amen, amen. Amen, right over here. Hallelujah. Amen. Right there, let's go meet him. Praise God. Ladies, you want to take that brother right there? Amen. Church, we're going to celebrate as we go out today. This is Resurrection Sunday. We're so thankful for what God has done. He is alive. He's alive. He's alive. Amen. Let's worship.